Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word remains present in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We look through the pages of scriptures and see that your word is powerful, healing sick, raising the dead. And Lord, we know that your word remains powerful today as a healing presence in our lives and redeeming us from sin and death. Lord, open our hearts and minds to your word as what you would have us hear today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So recently, a retired pastor friend of mine said he visited an old church, and in that old church, they had this pulpit, and on the preacher's side of the pulpit, there was inscribed some words. And those words said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." I love those words, and ever since he shared that with me, it's been just running laps in my head. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And those words don't mean we just want to kind of see him from afar. It means, "Sir, we want to know Jesus." And to know someone, what do you have to do? You have to look at their life, right? I mean, anyone can know the name of Jesus, but to actually know Jesus, you have to look at his life. You have to look at the way he lived and how he interacted with people. You have to go right here to the pages of Scripture to know Jesus. Now, it's always interesting, and I would say challenging, when you're speaking with someone, you're having a conversation with someone who doesn't know Jesus. They might know his name, they might kind of heard of him, but they don't really know him. They know nothing beyond the name. So a short while ago, I was talking with this young man. He was in a, I would say he was in a terrified state in his life. He just found out that his wife was pregnant, and he was not happy about it. He said it wasn't good news because, in his words, they were about 1 week from being broke. So he was scared, and he was looking for a way out of that pregnancy. Now, when tough conversations like this come up, I always like to try to see, where is that person spiritually? Do they know Jesus? Because if they know Jesus, then we have a good foundation, a good starting point at which to go forward. So as we talked and we continued in this conversation, this young man very confidently told me that he was agnostic. He didn't know Jesus. If there was a God, he wasn't real interested in knowing Jesus. And ever since that day, the more I think about this conversation and our dialogue plays in my head, this same question keeps coming to mind. Who is Jesus? How would you explain to a young, agnostic, terrified young man who Jesus is? One approach, one very highly recommended approach, is to start here. Start in the Word of God. Open the pages of the Scripture and bring forth Jesus from those pages. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." There's no better place to start than the pages of Scripture to know Jesus, to see who he was, to get a look into his heart's desire. And our gospel lesson, that short gospel lesson read this morning, gives us a view into who Jesus is. It points forth four direct truths about our Lord Jesus. First, he's fully known. Two, he hates sin. Three, he's all-powerful. And finally, four, he is filled with love and compassion. So we look at that story that was read this morning, and we see Jesus. He was in the temple. He was teaching. And the text said immediately this man came forward, this man that was controlled by this unclean spirit. And the first thing that unclean spirit does through this man is directly speak to Jesus. He said, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This is such an interesting moment. You have this evil thing, this thing of sin and darkness that has controlled this man. No redeeming value in this unclean spirit, but yet he's professing publicly that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Think about the significance of that moment. Had it been just a disciple saying, hey, he's the Holy One of God, I mean, kind of ordinary, right? Of course you're saying that. You're his disciple, but not a demon. This demon wasn't for Jesus. This demon didn't love Jesus. There's nothing in this demon that was biased to Christ as Lord. Yet in that moment, he publicly says, you are the Holy One of God. Despite being nothing but wickedness and darkness, he proclaimed Christ as the Holy One of God. Even darkness knows Christ Jesus as Lord. Our second thing we see from this story, Jesus hates sin. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have this equally deep hatred for sin. What did Jesus say to that unclean spirit? He said, be silent and come out of him. Now, I don't hear this as Jesus saying, Mr. Spirit, if you don't mind, could you just kind of keep it down a little bit? And then maybe like, if it's not too much of a bother, come out of that man, maybe? I mean, what do you think? No. I hear Jesus saying, be silent, get out of him, and do it now. I hear force and ferocity in the words of Jesus. He wasn't making a suggestion. He wasn't negotiating with him. He was commanding him. He was commanding sin and darkness to leave this man. Our God hates sin. Still today, our God very much hates sin because it violates his design for creation. The people he created, it creates this separation between us and him, and God hates that. If you need proof of what God thinks about sin, just turn around and look at the cross back there. The crucifix of our Lord Jesus is an image of how much God hates sin. The punishment for sin was put on him. God hated sin at the time of the story, and God still very much hates sin today. And he speaks that truth to us through the work of his Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's go back to that young man I mentioned at the beginning that was looking to end the life of his unborn child. I'm sitting there with him and I'm thinking, how do I get through to this guy? I've already established he has no glimpse of Jesus in his life. He said very confidently he's agnostic. How do I speak some kind of truth to him? And then in that moment, like the Holy Spirit does often, the Holy Spirit came into that conversation. And that young man looked at me and he said, we decided that doing the bad thing was our only true option. And I very gently and respectfully said, what do you mean by bad thing? And then he looked at me, and then he looked down, and he said, very softly, abortion. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit crashed into the life of this young man with real hard truth. This guy didn't know Jesus. He wasn't interested in being a disciple of Jesus, yet the Holy Spirit spoke real truth into his life in that moment. And you could see that it stung on him. You could see that truth stung and it hurt a little bit. But it was truth that he needed to hear because it was good truth. Now, in that moment, there wasn't like this big, like, wow, conversion moment. He didn't come to faith in that moment. But you could physically see a change in him after he spoke those words. He didn't seem as confident. That false truth that he brought into the start that conversation seemed shattered by what the Holy Spirit had revealed to him about the ugliness of sin in that moment. There's no doubt that God hates sin. And in our lives, in my life, in your life, God speaks through his Holy Spirit hard truth to us often. Why does he do that? Because he wants to restore us. He wants to lead us away from the grips and the life-taking death that sin brings into our life. He wants to build us back up. He wants to save us. The third truth about our Lord Jesus from this gospel lesson is that he's incredibly powerful. How'd he drive out that demon? He spoke. He spoke. He spoke a word and said to that demon, get out. And that demon fled. At the word of God, evil fled. The word of God is all powerful. And there's evidence all over the Bible. Go to stories all over the Gospels. Jesus and Lazarus, dead 4 days. What'd he say to Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out alive. The Gentile girl who had her own demon. Jesus spoke to the mother and said, the demon has left your child, and she was healed. The centurion with the paralyzed servant came to Jesus. Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you believed. And his servant was instantly healed. He wasn't even in the same room with him. By his word, Jesus heals, restores, and brings to life. And still today, by his word, Jesus speaks into your life and my life and brings forth new life. Every time we gather here at worship and a pastor says something to the nature of in the stead and by the command, by the authority of our Lord Jesus, on behalf of what he did, I forgive you all your sins. In that moment, new life comes into you and me. We're brought to new life. We're restored. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. Our Lord Jesus, by his word, has the power to raise the dead, heal the sick, bring sight to the blind, and forgive you of all your sins. Finally, the fourth thing we learn from this lesson from our Lord Jesus, and I think it's probably the most impactful to the non-believing world, is that our Lord Jesus is filled with love and compassion. What did he do when he saw this demon-possessed man? He cared for him. He stopped what he was doing and he spoke over that man and he healed him. Imagine if Jesus had just shrugged his shoulders and said, you know, it's really not my problem. I don't want to get involved. Or if Jesus had looked at him and gone, it's kind of his fault, right? Look at the way that guy's lived. Of course he has a demon. You go figure that out by yourself, buddy. That's what the world kind of expects, right? That's what the world would expect, blame and indifference. That's maybe what an agnostic young man, terrified, might expect to hear. We live in this throwaway culture today where if something isn't good, we just get rid of it and get something else. But Christ Jesus sees it differently. Christ Jesus saw it differently in the life of this man. He saw a man that needed to be saved. He led with great compassion and love, and he rescued this man from the grips of sin and death. He fought for him. And why did he do it? Why did Jesus fight for this obscure, ordinary man? Because he loved him. Because that one man was important to him. Because he didn't want that one man to be lost. In our life today, Jesus still fights for you and me so that you and I might be free, so that we might be pulled from the grips of sin and eternal death. Every day, our Lord Jesus fights for us. And it's all done in love. His death, his resurrection, his promise to return, it's all done in love for you. As I closed my conversation with this young man, I was very direct with him. I said, look, man, I know you don't believe in Jesus, but the whole reason I am sitting across from you is because of Jesus. Because of his love for me, I am sitting here sharing his love with you. That is it, and that is why I am willing to walk with you in this scary and uncertain moment. It is all about Jesus. I think the most compelling truth about our Lord Jesus is that he is filled with love and compassion for you, for me, for that scared young man, and for every human being that's walking this earth today. Our Lord Jesus came so that they might have faith in him, so that they might be restored and have eternal life with him. Who is Jesus? He's the Holy One of God. He's a deep hater of sin. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He is the Savior of the world who's filled with love and compassion, who died, who rose, who's coming back, and who fights daily on your behalf for your well-being, your eternal well-being. That's who Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and mercy that you show us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, without your love and your grace and your kindness, we'd be lost in darkness. Lord, we thank you for this gift of faith, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that continues to keep us clinging tightly to you as our Lord and our God. Lord, sustain us as we go out into a world that's trying to pull us away from you. Protect us in body, mind, and soul. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.